Welcome back to the Deep Dive. For a long time, the whole conversation around AI in the workplace, it's been kind of stuck on this one big philosophical question, right?
Will AI replace my job?
Exactly. And, you know, while that debate just rages on in theory, the organizations that are actually succeeding with AI have just quietly moved past it.
They really have. They aren't planning for displacement. They're designing for augmentation.
Right. Our mission today is to cut right through that theoretical worry and get intensely tactical. We are diving deep into the actual practical artifacts.
Playbooks, the documents.
The operational blueprints that organizations are using right now to manage this new, and let's be honest, complex human AI interface. We want to know what tools are in the change manager's toolkit.
And the sources show a monumental shift. The new baseline for AI is no longer some small experimental pilot in an IT department.
Not at all.
It's scaled deployment across the entire enterprise. It comes complete with rigorous ethical guardrails, mandatory impact assessments, and entirely new federated operating models.
Which means leaders have to fundamentally redesign how humans make decisions and how processes even flow.
And this whole shift is being driven by what they're calling agentic AI.
Systems that don't just execute a task, but can actually plan, act, and even learn on their own to achieve a goal.
Exactly. And if you're deploying that kind of powerful, autonomous capability, you need more than just a software license. You need a complete organizational toolkit.
So we're going deep on specific artifacts like action maps, play cards, and specialized AI prompt libraries that are really defining this new age of organizational change management. Okay, let's unpack this.
So when we synthesize the findings, and we're looking at both leading academic institutions and global consulting groups, there's a really clear consensus emerging.
And what's that?
AI has to be viewed as an accelerator that fundamentally requires hybrid governance. It needs radical transparency so users know what the AI is doing, and it must include human-in-the-loop oversight for the big decisions.
That human-in-the-loop part, that sounds like it gets incredibly complicated when you're dealing with these agentic systems. Can you elaborate on that trade-off they're all wrestling with?
Absolutely. Agentic AI is designed to take initiative, right? To self-correct and learn. That autonomy is what drives all the efficiency. But it forces organizations to confront this tricky governance paradox. How much freedom do you give the AI to operate and plan? And at what point does a human have to be able to step in?
So you have to define the rules of the road before you even start the engine.
You have to address that balancing act and define the operational constraints before you scale. If you try to do it afterwards, you risk massive adoption failure or, honestly, much worse.
That makes perfect sense. So the strategic goal is clear. Balance, autonomy, and supervision. But how do practitioners translate that huge idea into practical, measurable steps?
Well, they're moving toward these measured adoption efforts. Mm-hmm. We're seeing a shift to treating AI initiatives more like product lines, not just one-off projects.
Kind of like a hub-and-spoke model.
Exactly. But crucially, they're defining metrics for success that go way beyond standard ROI. And one particularly fascinating artifact we encountered is the AI Confidence Index.
An AI Confidence Index. Okay, tell us more about that. It sounds like a critical bridge between, you know, the value stories and actual durable change.
It is. It's not just tracking how often people click the Use AI button. It's a structured metric designed to track three core components.
Okay.
First, human trust in the model's output. Second, the speed of human decision-making when they're assisted by the AI. And third, sometimes the model's own drift or accuracy over time.
So by tracking those human and technical parts together, they can prove that the change actually stuck.
Precisely. It turns a one-off successful pilot into an institutionalized, measurable capability.
This is where it gets really interesting for me. We're looking at the tangible documents, the systems, the artifacts that define the shift. This isn't high-level strategy anymore. These are the blueprints for day-to-day interactions between people and algorithms.
And our analysis shows that most of the energy and the investment is coalescing in the process squares of the OCM framework.
So process mapping, workflow automation, reinforcement.
Yes. Why? Because these are seen as the shortest, most efficient path from a pilot to full-scale enterprise adoption. You change the process first, and the people will follow.
Okay, so let's start with action plans and action maps. They seem critical for proving value quickly and getting everyone aligned. How are they being used?
They establish a 90-day cycle of measurable value proof. A great example is Root Insurance. They use these really rigorous 90-day value proof plans to align their human underwriting workflows with these highly predictive risk models.
Which are based on telematics data, right?
Exactly. So the action map literally defines it. Step one, AI generates a risk score. Step two, the human underwriter reviews that score and validates any anomalies. Step three, the result is logged. It's about codifying that precise moment of augmentation.
That makes it so concrete. It shows the human exactly where they stop and where the AI starts, or vice versa. But these maps aren't just for people, are they?
No, and this is a really crucial distinction in the new OCM. We're seeing action maps being applied to machine-to-machine processes, too.
How so?
Well, take Advanced Solutions, a large systems integrator. They apply process mapping through their internal data stack, which they call the DDE Gateway Connect stack.
Okay, that's a mouthful.
Forget the jargon. Just think of it as a unified data highway. They map the workflow of the data itself. They consolidate machine data to optimize maintenance schedules and deliver measurable ROI on machine efficiency in just 3 months.
So we're moving from mapping human processes to hybrid processes to even pure data processes. That's a huge leap. So once you've mapped the process and proven the value, how do you make sure that change is permanent?
That is where the reinforcement artifacts come in. Play cards and playbooks, they're essential. They operationalize the new workflow. A play card takes that complex action map and just distills it into simple sequential steps for the frontline user.
Can you give us a tangible example of that reinforcement in action?
Sure. Look at a large contact center organization we studied. They're deploying detailed champion demo scripts and integrating QA Gates quality assurance checklists right into their daily operations.
Okay.
And these scripts and gates reinforce the proper adoption of generative copilots that they're using for ticket resolution. So the play card might say, prompt step A, use the suggested template. Step B, review the draft for tone. Step C, if you make a correction, log it.
So the reinforcement isn't just training. It's a systematic way to enforce quality on the fly, making what was an experiment into standard procedure.
Exactly. This focus on detailed process mapping, workflow automation, and structured reinforcement, that's the secret sauce for durable change. It turns a novelty into an operational norm.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Okay, let's move to the people side enablers, the tools that address awareness, buildability, and ultimately foster trust. We're seeing these capabilities get codified into specific artifacts, too.
And these tools are so interesting because they directly address the need to improve the human's ability to interface with the AI. You're basically training people to be better prompt engineers and better supervisors.
The perfect example of this has to be the AI prompt library. What's the purpose of this beyond just giving people a few starter questions?
A prompt library really serves a dual function,
yeah.
Efficiency and governance. We saw a pilot at Global Enterprises using this incredibly effectively. They included templates for standard tasks like translation or scheduling.
The easy stuff.
Right. But critically, they paired this with AI-driven civility coaching and tone-checking assistance. So the library isn't just teaching people how to talk to the AI. It's making sure that when they use AI to communicate, they're sticking to company standards.
That moves way beyond just simple efficiency.
Yeah. It
connects the tool directly to bigger things like civility and well-being SOPs.
Precisely. We looked at one manufacturing firm that applies AI tone checking, not just for external emails, but for internal ones too, right alongside well-being dashboards that track stress indicators. The objective is really profound.
It's not just about preventing mistakes.
No, it's about using AI to actively reduce stress and improve engagement during a massive transformation. It leverages AI almost as a therapeutic tool for change management.
But ability also relies so heavily on accessible knowledge. If AI changes the process, the new knowledge has to be right there for the user. We're seeing some impressive branded knowledge hubs to address this.
Knowledge management has always been tough, but AI is transforming it. My favorite case study here is Oak Street Health, which is now part of CVS. They didn't just deploy a platform. They branded their Bloomfire knowledge platform as the trunk.
The trunk. I like that. It's memorable. It suggests a trusted place for everything you need. But what made it actually work?
They totally revolutionized knowledge delivery. They embedded expert Q&A routing, strong moderation, and predictive knowledge delivery.
Meaning the system tries to answer your question before you even finish asking it.
That's it. And the results are just staggering. They speak directly to the power of streamlining change adoption. They cut search time down to just 25 seconds.
Wait, 25 seconds? That's nearly instant access to critical, verified information. What was the impact on customer satisfaction?
They improved their Net Promoter Score, their NPS, by a massive 116 points.
Wow.
For anyone unfamiliar, a typical successful improvement might be 5 or 10 points. 116 points means they entirely changed the user experience just by making institutional knowledge instantly accessible. That's the power of OCM through knowledge.
That one data point really underscores the urgency of these enablers. And to scale that knowledge, you can't just rely on a central hub.
Correct. You need internal advocates, and that's where champion kits become essential artifacts. That same contact center organization we mentioned, the one using play cards, they equip their frontline champions with detailed quick reference guides and demo scenarios. The champion kit is designed to help scale AI adoption organically, peer-to-peer, right from the frontline.
It's a localized deployment mechanism.
Exactly. Now, we should probably transition to the technology squares of the framework, where we see artifacts designed to stabilize all this initial change into long-term operational norms.
Right. These artifacts focus on control, governance, and tracking.
Yes, because as soon as you have dozens of teams implementing their own action maps and using different prompt libraries, you face a huge sprawl risk. You need central control.
And that's where we see things like governance fact sheets and model catalogs.
This is all about preventing shadow IT in the AI age. Take SAP, for example. They run a generative AI hub that provides centralized guardrails, full lifecycle governance, and most importantly, model catalogs.
And a model catalog is basically an approved menu of AI tools that teams are allowed to use.
That's a perfect way to put it. It standardizes safety, security, and usage. It prevents every single business unit from trying to build their own rogue large language model or deploying unvetted code. It's the institutional stamp of approval.
That makes sense.
And this need for centralized oversight, it's echoed powerfully in the public sector with things like agent guardrails and governance hubs. The Government of Canada, for instance, mandates the use of algorithmic impact assessments, or AIAs, before deploying any AI system.
That sounds like a legally required change management artifact. What does an AIA actually do?
It's a foundational governance artifact. The AIA requires the department to proactively analyze the potential risks and benefits of an AI system, especially when it comes to human rights and privacy. It forces teams to document transparency, explainability, and potential biases before it goes live.
So it ensures accountability and that citizens have some recourse.
Correct.
And finally, after all this planning, all these play cards and governance, how do organizations know if the change is actually sinking in?
You rely on adoption dashboards. We saw a major financial services firm track adoption through their custom AI confidence index, linking back to what we discussed earlier, right alongside deep usage analytics.
So this is the nerve center.
It is. This firm deployed over a dozen AI apps under a hub and spoke model. And the dashboard tracks not just ROI, but if the new behaviors, the ones defined in the play cards, are actually taking root.
So if we connect this back to the bigger picture, these dashboards are what ensure that measured adoption path is being followed. They link the tactical usage metrics directly back to the strategic goal of durable enterprise-wide change. It closes the loop.
It absolutely closes the loop.
This has been a genuinely deep dive into the trenches of OCM. To quickly summarize our key takeaways, the current tactical reality focuses heavily on codified process artifacts like action maps and play cards.
Right, because they're proven to be the fastest route to measurable, scalable value.
And those are backed up by essential people-focused ability enhancers, like the AI prompt libraries, the civility SOPs, and those incredibly powerful branded knowledge hubs we talked about,
which all serve to accelerate human learning and trust.
And the entire system is stabilized by rigorous infrastructure artifacts, like governance fact sheets, model catalogs, and those external mandates like AIAs, ensuring ethical and centralized control. So what does this all mean for you, the listener, today?
I think it means the era of the isolated AI pilot is over. Organizations are prioritizing reinforcement mechanisms and detailed workflow design because those elements provide the fastest, safest, and most scalable path to value. The focus is no longer on just building AI. It is entirely on managing the hybrid human-AI ecosystem.
That is an excellent distillation of the current state. To leave you with a final provocative thought, the sources detail how ADP, the global payroll giant, uses an agent-building platform to orchestrate complex payroll tasks, which enables rapid deployment of new capabilities across different regions. So think about your own most complex, repetitive process right now. What specific artifact, an action map for the workflow, a playbook for the steps, or maybe an AI prompt library to standardize interaction? What would you design first to transition that process from human-only to a successful human-AI hybrid? That's your first step toward mastering the tactical reality.